Introduced. Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hey, hello, everybody. The 2 o'clock hour is upon us. You know what that means. It means we are live and local in your backyard with hopefully awesome and entertaining sports talk radio. I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass with the ones and twos. We have an eye on the PGA Championship, NBA playoffs last night and tonight, and lots to talk about as we continue throughout the day. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. That is also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line as well. You can follow us at Twitter at 99.3ESPN. We'll get a couple of questions up there on the Twitter poll later on. You can follow me at Twitter at CraigESPN and follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Pete, how are you today,
sir? Fantastic. Not as good as Bruce Koepka. Chris will get you up to date. Record-setting day. On that course, geez.
So when he was cocky and confident yesterday, thinking he pretty much can beat anybody out there, remember, he said it was math. He said, well, half the people won't make the cut.
It's over.
The other half of the people will have a bad day.
I declare it's over.
You missed the most cocky part of the quote. I'm just better than 80 of the players. Okay. That's what he said.
Well, he might be right.
He is right.
I might be better than all of them.
It's over.
You kidding me?
He won this thing on the first day?
Anyway. Great.
He's up by four strokes.
I don't
want to
give any details away. I'll let Chris do that. Time for the Sports Center Rundown. Here's Chris.
All right, we'll get to it. PGA Championship, Brooks Koepka, a course record 7-under-63 today. He parred both of the par fives and missed a 3-foot birdie putt on 11. He's got a 4-stroke lead at the PGA Championship over Tommy Fleetwood. Tiger Woods bogeyed 3 of his final holes to card a 2-over-72. Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson has been suspended for the first 6 games of the upcoming season following a failed PED test. Adam Schefter reporting Peterson has dropped his appeal, and the Blades won last night.
Hey!
Yesterday afternoon, whatever.
Well, it was 5:30 start time or whatever it was.
Even more impressive with Koepka, no bogeys. How is that possible on that course?
I don't know.
Bogeys.
I don't know. It was impressive.
Brute strength is how it's possible. He had a couple of holes. And the brute strength is one thing. You look at him and you can see that. But him hitting.
How about the first hole?
10, 11 footers for par consistently. You know, Tiger's making a little bit of run in the middle of his round. He had a 4-under through 4-hole stretch where he got it to 1-under par and he was just 4 strokes back on Brooks. He pours in an eagle putt on the par 5 fourth. Koepka comes back on a par 5 and drains a 12-foot par putt. I mean, just, it's...
Tiger with two double bogeys on the his front nine today, by the way. He was up and down all over the place. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And it started on the first hole where Koepka hit that long putt off the green, right? Or was it about 35-footer? Was it just off the green?
I did not see the first hole.
He birdied it right off the bat, and Tiger double bogeyed in the first opening minutes for them.
Yeah,
very impressive. Interesting piece I read today. I believe it was Barstool. Koepka says he gets bored playing golf, and in fact he says nobody wants to spend 5.5 hours out there. He would like rounds to be 14 or 15 holes. Said 18 is too long.
That's ridiculous.
It's very, very ridiculous.
I agree. 5 hours is too long. It should not take 5 hours. It should not take, if you're playing over 4 hours, just like you would in any match, that is too long.
I agree, but what can you
do
about
it? And I don't care how slow you are. It doesn't matter. Just let people through. It doesn't matter how many groups. I've encountered that.
Yeah, but you're not letting anybody through on the PGA, though. What do you do?
No,
how do you speed that up?
That's up to the officials. They're supposed to.
Look,
they implemented new rules for it.
Talking about us playing golf in a five-hour round, okay, that's because it's taking us 90-95 to get around a track.
Yeah.
It's not the same reasons why we're taking 5.5 hours to get through a round of golf.
I got you.
These guys, I mean, they're...
Chris, I don't care about public course. If you shoot 195, it should only take you 4 hours.
No, but what I'm saying is let's not try to compare what us weekend warriors do to what these guys do and why our rounds take 5 hours as opposed to these guys taking 5 hours.
The only time I've ever had a five-hour round in my life is at some sort of special tournament or a scramble where there's two foursomes on every hole. I have never, ever had a five-hour round in my life outside of that sort of scramble tournament structure. Never. Now, here, I can understand it simply because if you hit the ball in the fescue, it's going to take you. I mean, I know you're only supposed to have a certain amount of time, but on certain courses, I totally understand why. I get it. But they did implement new rules, Chris, this year, specifically to start to speed up the game a little bit because it was taking a little bit longer than it should have. There are guys. I mean, Tiger's a human rain delay. Let's face it. He is.
Well, that's been something throughout the history of golf. Like, you go back and you look at the best players, they're slow. Go back to Jack. Jack was one of the slowest players.
Because they super analyze every shot because it's their livelihood. I don't blame them.
But, to a certain point. I see him doing that, and I'm talking about me, the average golfer. I say, oh, well, if I want to make that 20-footer, I just got to look at it for 5 minutes. No, that's not the case.
No doubt.
In fact, I'd say that the weekend warrior, just stand behind the ball, look at what it does, and step up and hit it. I mean, that's going to be your best shot of making it.
Most of the time. Although, when we were like at Streamstone, when you have a real good caddy and you haven't played a course before, it does help. And in a situation like that, it really does.
But I didn't think it slowed us down, really.
No, like, hey, no, just the opposite.
Aim for that tree over there. And
no, I'll tell you what slows it down. Keep the flag in, keep the flag out. Someone went in and wanted out. I mean, it's like.
Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore. As much?
No, you do, because some people you play with like it in, some people like it out.
As opposed to everybody taking it out, or you taking it out, put it back in. I think it actually speeds up the game.
No, it does not speed up the game.
It
slows it down.
I disagree.
Well, no, it's science, Craig. Think about it.
Just leave it in.
You don't have that choice.
No,
you may want
it in, but
the guy you want is playing with wants it out.
People I've been with, you just leave it in and you go. Weekend warriors, again, it's not slowing me down.
There are a lot of people sometimes in the foursome. Two people might want it in, two people might
want
it out.
I haven't been in that situation yet.
Well, you will be.
It has speeded up my
rounds. I promise you, you watch the tournament that we play in on Saturday, I guarantee you there will be people, some want it in, which is their right, some want it out. You can't just say to the foursome you're saying with, no, we're taking it out, you have no choice, or leaving it in, you have no choice. It doesn't work that way.
I'm just saying to me, I'm not really looking for an argument. I'm just saying in the rounds I've played, it's
kind of seems like you're looking for an argument
right
now.
It is speeding up the game I've been in. We all just leave it in. You're not taking it out. You're not going to find it. You're not putting it back in before the next guy's coming in.
You cannot tell someone you're playing with to leave it in or take it out.
I'm not saying that.
Yes, you are. You're saying it should all leave it in or I'll take it out. Speed up. It doesn't speed up the game.
No, you're misconstruing what I said.
What are you saying?
I said in the rounds that I've played, it's been like a no big deal. People are like, the weekend warriors, just leave the damn flag in and hit. It speeds it up in games I've played in. I'm not forcing anybody to take it in or put it out. Those are words you're trying to put in my mouth.
No,
you are incorrect.
No, I'm not incorrect.
You're incorrect when you're surmising what I have said.
I'm surmising that. Okay, how many rounds have you played since they've been with three? I mean,
no, that was me. I've played about three, maybe two.
Yeah, I'm just telling. And it doesn't bother me. I'm saying is that you're playing with a lot of people that have a lot of different views, and some want it in your foursome, some want it out. I don't care. I'll do whatever anybody says.
And that's where I'm at. And that speeds it up in the games I played.
It does not speed it up when some people want it in and some people want it out.
You're saying two different things. Some people want it in, some people want it out. I'm saying in the games, the rounds I've played, we're like, no big deal. Leave it in, and it speeds it up. That's all I've said. Nothing I've said has been infactual.
Yes.
No, it was wrong.
It's a Pete misinterpretation.
It is not a misinterpretation. It'd be great if everybody agreed before the round. Yes, let's all leave the stick in. But it doesn't work that way most of the time.
All I've said, Pete, in the rounds that I...
What am I missing here?
You're trying to put yourself in my
game
body.
Is speeding up.
And I'm just saying, in the rounds that Craig Sheeman has played, it has sped it up because we've just kept it in there and moved on. That's all I've said. You were at one of my rounds.
And I agree with you.
Okay, it would be great. Stop right there. Stop right there.
Well,
you agree with
again,
me. We're done.
No,
it's
we're
over.
No, we're
I
not.
Win.
We're
Boom.
Not.
Done.
We're
no
we're
big
not.
Deal.
We're not. We're not done. You're saying one round that you played in, and I'm saying.
Now it's one.
You're in the.
I've said three.
Okay, three. Three rounds you played in. Everybody decided, let's leave the flag
in. Yes. Done. Right there. Done.
No.
That has sped up the games that I played in. Done. Done. Great. That's all I said. That's all I said.
And you are in the minority is what I'm trying to tell you.
I don't give a crap about the minority. I'm telling you in the
Craig
games like Craig Sheeman is playing
in. Somebody
get
some here.
Spit it up.
It does. And I'm telling you that you're in the minority because most people that you play with some want it in, some want it out.
Fine.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm not. I don't care about everybody else. I care about me. That was the story that I related to the audience.
If you ask the average local golfer in Southwest Florida right now that plays a couple of times a week, at least twice a week, they will tell you the game has not sped up. It has slowed down. And why? Because of the new rule that says you can either keep the flag in or out. That is a fact. Ask anybody. I wish Jeff were here from yesterday. He would confirm
it. Was it this rule put in to speed up the game? Wasn't that the purpose? Yes. Thank you.
And it hasn't.
Good day, sir.
And it hasn't because what they assumed is that everybody was going to go by that little stat, that 33% better chance by leaving the flag in is going to help you. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think it has. Not what I've seen. And I do think there's a problem, especially you've got four people putting long distances. Two people might want an in, two people might want an out. Now you're gonna go back and forth, depending on who's away. It slows down the game. Fact.
Can we move on now?
All right.
This was
please.
This was asinine.
Please. It's been 6 minutes and an argument that nobody can win. Nobody can win this argument.
Sure you can. Do you think the new rule, Chris, speeds up the game or slows it down?
I don't care.
Yeah, you do.
239. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
you do. 239. Did you order the card red? You damn right I did.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, Koepka shot a 63.
Today. Yeah, he did. He looked really good in it.
Bogey free 63.
Good grief.
Less
you know, to give everybody a little glimpse behind the curtain here. Yeah. About 4 minutes before the show started, I was in my office putting between my bookcase and my
refrigerator. Yeah.
And I looked at Craig. I go, Craig, if I make this putt, it's going to be a great show today. He goes, we do a great show every day. I said,
right.
Oh, okay,
damn
sure.
Right.
So I drained it. Drained the putt. Yeah. Going to be honest, guys. Not off to a great start today.
Sure we are. Are you kidding me? Absolutely off to a great start.
239 nuts. Says, put it in, take it out. Are you sure you're talking about
golf? Yeah. That's what she said.
Maybe.
So, yeah, Brooks Koepka. How about him, huh?
How about that guy?
How about those Bears?
I read another cool story about Brooks Koepka. Apparently, some dude cut his hair recently, and Brooksy tipped him $800. How about that? It's a good tip.
U.S.?
Yes, U.S.
What?
American.
No, pesos.
Throw a yen out. That's a pretty bad tip, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, $800. Pretty good.
Well, and just real quick, I will tell you this because you guys don't want to talk hockey at all, but I will say this. In the realm of pathetic, horrific calls, it has happened again last night. It was a disgrace what happened. Even though I picked San Jose as my underdog lock of the year, and I still think they would have won despite this stupid call. But when you have an official after a hand pass, a blatant hand pass, and four of them missed it. Last night.
Missed it in front of the goal.
Exactly.
What are they looking at?
Timo Meier to Erik Karlsson, who's a big scorer for the Sharks. But when you have after the game, it was a clear hand pass, but all four, the two referees and the two linesmen missed it. And when you have the NHL officiating supervisor, Kay Whitmore, with this BS thing after the game, it's a non-reviewable play. You can read between the lines. You can figure out what you want. You watch the video, but it's just non-reviewable. I know what sounds like a cop-out answer, but that's the truth. And what he means by that is because all four officials missed it, it was not reviewable, if you can believe that. So same thing that happened with the Bruins-Columbus game when the puck hit the net behind and they allowed a player to pass the puck after it came off the net, which eventually led to a Blue Jackets goal. But because the officials, all four of them, again, didn't see it, it wasn't reviewable. Is that not the dumbest thing ever in sports? You think the Rams-Saints thing is dumb? This has got to be the dumbest thing I have ever seen in the history of rules in sports.
Can
how,
I explain?
How a play like that can't be reviewable.
I can't get as outraged over a call in Game 3 of a best-of-7 series as I can in the fourth quarter of a playoff
championship.
But this
game.
is the equivalent of the NFC Championship. This is the Western Conference Finals.
This is the equivalent of the second quarter in the NFC Championship. This is not the equivalent of a fourth quarter blown call
this is overtime.
Look, it continues with the theme of 2019. Big time sporting events. We know we're going to be coming in talking about the officiating the following day.
No, that's what
that's where we've been this year.
This is an overtime, Chris. Overtime of
but it's game three.
I know that, but
somebody's season didn't end on a bad call. It might later, eventually.
Exactly. Like you have time to overcome that at this point.
Yeah. The point is, it should never ever come down to that.
I don't know how
four officials missed something that happened in front of the net.
I don't know how four officials missed last week when the puck hit the screen, the netting in Columbus in back of it. I don't know how you missed that. I've never seen that before. But anyway, just a little pet peeve of mine.
I mean, a lot of people are talking about that.
Well,
today.
You know what, guys? That's why hockey's becoming less and less popular.
That's not true. It's just the
opposite. I'm just telling you, soccer is on it. They've got the video assistant replay, the VAR. It's working to a T. That's why soccer's on the rise in this country, people.
Chris, why are you doing that? I spent the first half of the segment arguing with Pete. Now you want to start with an argument
I'm just trying to stir the pot over here. I don't.
Because even in FIFA's worst, pathetic, cheating, hypocritical moment, I've never heard an officiating supervisor say it's not. When he says it's a non-reviewable play, and then he says, you can read between the lines. Well, for those casual fans, you know what that means? That means my guys on the ice, my two refs and my two linesmen were too stupid to realize that it was a hand pass. And it says, he says, you can figure out what you want. You watch the video, but it's just non-reviewable. I know what sounds like a cop-out answer, but that's the truth. It's a cop-out answer because you won't say the officials, all four of them, just say they missed it and we cannot review a call that is missed by all four, two refs and two linesmen on the ice. What is so hard about that?
I don't know.
Embarrassment.
Let's put a fifth official out there.
239 is right. Soccer's been on the rise for 20 years.
Maybe 30.
Just not in this country.
It just keeps coming.
Well, that's not what TV viewership says.
I think in the Premier League, absolutely is on the rise. Absolutely. Overall, the MSL, the MLS... No,
the MLS is absolutely on the rise.
Certain markets it is.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Seattle.
On fire.
Seattle, big market. Mm-hmm. Miami.
Go. You got your new shirt this week.
It will be Enter. Good. I hope it does well in Miami.
All right, I have one more golf question for you to kind of tidy up this
question. Be careful.
No need to be careful. I just saw a video of John Daly cruising around in his cart. He looked hideous. And he's limping around when he's walking.
Limping. Waddle. He looked like a big tortoise waddling to the hole.
He claims he's at a disadvantage riding in the golf cart at Bethpage Black. He's having the disadvantage because he has to. What? Somebody surmised for me what he was talking
about. We are at a disadvantage watching him walk to the hole, waddle to the hole, whatever it is. But I got any other person, they're not giving this.
I feel like this is the last time
we're going to
do this.
It's an absolute joke. He's limping.
Does he have a better score than Tiger?
Oh, let's check.
Tiger shot a 2-over. Like, it's not like Tiger was horrendous today.
But if he does.
And there's not that many people under par right now. I mean, there's really not.
Yeah, there's a drop-off. Koepka's at 7-under. Then Tommy Fleetwood, I believe, is at
3-under.
And then it's like 2-1 even. I mean,
look, right now there are 14 players under par.
Okay.
It's just Brooks Koepka posting a 7-under completely distorts the way you would think a leaderboard should look at a major.
Yeah,
it's so sick on that course when you with the wind and the narrowness and the small greens. Just to not forget the 7-under is awesome enough, but to not have a bogey, to have a bogey free round on that course is just mind boggling to me. Amazing.
Again, this is Brooks Koepka 7-under par. He parred both of the par fives.
Yeah, he didn't pick up
and
score
missed,
there.
I'm telling you, a shorty on his second hole of the day for birdie. I mean,
maybe he was bored because he thinks for the him course to, is too long.
It wouldn't have been ridiculous for him to shoot a 60 today. I mean, right. Now, he did make his fair share of long par putts that I talked about, but it could have been an all-time round that he had today.
But to your point, Craig, John Daly is now tied with Tiger Woods.
Is he really?
78th place at 2-over.
Oh, you know that's going to burn Tiger's crop.
Yeah, but how many holes does he throw?
Five.
Exactly. He's got a long time to get above that number.
That would make our point useless.
Yeah. Well, it's not useless now.
That could be a sandwich bet. No.
Bring it up now. No.
I'll take that. No. I'll give you two sandwiches to one.
I think he'll finish at plus 12 today daily, if not more.
I'll set it at 9.5.
Not only is John Daly
really?
Not making the cut tomorrow, does he do a withdrawal?
Just WD.
Did not finish. Yeah, exactly.
Now, this is one of those, if you don't finish in the top, you got to be somewhat respectable. I mean, you can, I know it's in the 10 strokes. He's not going to finish with 10 shots, but. Can you be eliminated on...
No, it's top 70 in ties, unless they have, like, top 80. Then they'll do a secondary cut on Saturday afternoon, but Daly doesn't have to worry about that.
No, he won't have to worry about that. Some miracle happens.
I don't think Daly's worried about anything.
He doesn't have to worry about
that. What year did he win
it? He's worried about something.
What year did he win it? When the hell was that?
Worried about keeping
91.
Was it that long ago?
Worried about keeping that breeze out of the golf cart so he can light his smokes between holes.
Can a man unwind?
You gotta cup that lighter.
Got a flask.
That's pretty good. All right. When we come back, we will review what happened with the NBA last night. Had a bit of a better game than we had two nights ago. Nonetheless, we'll discuss that a little bit. And we've got NBA playoffs tonight, Trailblazers and Warriors, 8 o'clock here at 99.3 ESPN and 99.3 ESPN Out, brought to you by Twin Peaks and Game Time as well. We'll discuss that. And later on in the show, we are now 100 days away from college football. So, Pete, you're going to have a little something for us later on to commemorate that.
Yep.
So we got a lot to do here, plus Wikipedia around the corner, your chance to win prizes. We got a lot going on. We're warming up. I'm going to leave the flag in, take a break, be right back. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP26 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday. Itching closer to the weekend. PGA Championship is well underway. Brooks Koepka running away from the field.
7 under already.
Got a couple of local golfers.
Just keeping track. Justin Birch. He actually birdied the first hole, but is now 3 over through 8. And Andrew Filbert is just getting ready, right now.
Friend of the program.
He was on yesterday. So keep you up to date on Justin and Andrew throughout the day as well.
All right, NBA playoffs. Kevin Durant, did you just see a report? He's out 3 to 6 weeks, which effectively means he's done as a Warrior.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's really surprised.
That's a season.
Well, you have points. Yeah.
No.
He's done.
He's played his last game as a Golden State Warrior.
So that seals it, right? Golden State's winning it?
Well, I think I'm going to have to root for that now. I want to see them win one without him.
Again. How about what you guys?
Again.
How about what? Steph Curry has said it's been fun. He's saying a lot of things. I know Lebertard brought it up today, but a couple of Curry's quotes. Steph, I'm talking about.
It's a foregone conclusion that KD's gone. Even his teammates know it, right? I mean, that became a thing back in January where he and Durant got into it with Draymond Green because Green says, look, a part of our problems is you got one foot out the door already. So, I mean, this is, you know, worst-kept secret in the NBA.
It's all going to be really interesting to see. And then there's rumors about Kyrie and, you know, he wants to go to Lakers now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that situation. Still his eye on Anthony Davis, where he ends up. A lot of interesting. This NBA offseason is going to be almost as compelling as what happens.
By the way, Zion's stepdad, with ESPN 104.5 in Baton Rouge, said that they are very excited about the possibility of playing with the New Orleans Pelicans.
I've heard multiple stories on that line, so there's not going to be any kind of coup. He's not going back to Duke, although I was intrigued by the go play for Team USA thing for a year. But then wouldn't it be funny if he was drafted again by the Pelicans? Yeah. Anyway, he's going to start his pro career and make his millions of dollars.
But last night's game, Raptors up 11 after the first, whether they're up by 16 or 17 at one point, and then absolutely lay an egg in the fourth quarter. Not only did the Bucks win, they cover by a point. Good call, Chris.
Hey!
Didn't look good at halftime, boys.
No, it did not.
But they played four.
I'm surprised the Raptors lost that game.
Well, in the fourth quarter, when everybody not named Kyle Lowry goes 0-15, you're
crazy.
In a tough spot.
No, that is. And frankly, I thought that Milwaukee has a very – they can be beaten with their style. Their style is Giannis Antetokounmpo to take the ball up top, drive it down the lane, get quadruple teamed, and kick it out. And they weren't making their shots. That's why they were falling behind on the Raptors. And that was not working. I mean, they need to mix in a little pick and roll and all that. They don't have it as part of their offense like other teams do.
It's almost becoming really easy to preview NBA games. Whoever hits their threes is going to win. It seems like all the best teams have adopted this Houston Rockets style offense where if it ain't at the rim, it's behind the three-point line.
Right. That's where I like the Portland Trailblazers with McCollum, because he can hit the mid-range jumper and mix it up a little bit.
Imagine that.
I know.
Mid-range jumper. But last
Kevin
night,
Durant could do that.
Yep. But they lost by 22 in game one.
I know.
But not because of they only hit mid-range jumpers. It's because a lot of other things, mainly defense.
Well, when you give Steph, I believe it was 7 clean looks from three, you're not going to win.
I think clean looks is an understatement.
Right.
When he came around, that
wide
pick and roll,
open.
And Enes Kanter
is talking
15 feet back guarding the rim, which nobody's coming at. That is a wide open look. I don't know what you do defensively, because you can't have Enes Kanter come up and be the guy that is there waiting for him when he comes off the pick and roll. What? So I guess the answer is your guy's going to have to fight over the pick and fight through it on top.
And what if I told you last night that the Milwaukee Bucks trailed 37 of the 48 minutes? What would you say the score would be? They only had 11 minutes in the game.
Even if they win, they don't cover the 7.5.
Yeah. Oh, did they win? They do cover.
They covered.
Close the game on a 10-0 run.
That's good. Got
me off. Really important.
Got me off a 3-game schneid.
Yeah.
Schneid. That's a funny word. I wonder where
schneid?
That came from.
Get off the schneid?
Yeah, get off the schneid. What is a schneid?
Let's look it up.
Let's look it up. And while you do, I also heard that a Milwaukee radio station is banning Drake music during the playoffs because, obviously, Toronto, Drake is a fan. He's from Toronto, and he sits in the front row of Raptors games. So now Milwaukee, this radio station, it is 103.7 KISS FM in Milwaukee, is not allowing any Drake music for the remainder of the series.
Don't
which
you
is
find
good, because I don't like Drake music anyway.
I don't care, but don't you find the whole that sort of pettiness is so overplayed now?
No, it's a great radio ridiculous. Promotion to promote everything that's going on. The city's excited about it. Everybody's talking about it. I don't care about it. And like I said,
because of that.
Yeah.
No, but the radio station's not promoting it. It's been banned.
Okay, right. Schneid is actually short for Schneider, a term originally used in the card game of gin, meaning to prevent an opponent from scoring any points. Schneider entered the vocabulary from gin, from German, probably via Yiddish, where it means tailor. Apparently, the original sense was that if you were Schneidered in gin, you were cut, as if by a tailor.
Yeah.
From contention in the game.
In fact, if you watch X-Men First Class, Chris, you will see that when who's Magneto, when he flees to Argentina and finds the two former Nazi criminals there, and he says something, and he goes, and Schneider. And the guy was a tailor, because it's translation.
How about that?
About that.
Look at there.
Schneider, also a great character, the janitor fix-it man from One Day at a Time.
Yes. Did he ever get lucky with Ann Romano is the big question in television history.
I don't
history.
Think he did.
Rob Schneider, underrated.
He's amusing. I like Rob Schneider.
Sometimes.
He's funny.
He's weird funny.
Not in a starring, in a leading role.
Right. Oh, never.
Yeah. But a nice guy for a cameo.
Yeah.
That's Rob Schneider's sweet spot right there. A nice cameo. Good funny line.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Not bad. Not bad.
By the way, I heard you dissing me in the hallway to stand across the hall about not
watching
Tommy Boy.
Yeah, well, it's
Tommy
ridiculous.
Boy.
You haven't seen Tommy Boy.
What happened?
No, I've seen bits and pieces of it. I will do the homework. In fact, Sunday at some point, I will watch it before game. Maybe I'll watch it before Game of Thrones, the finale.
No basketball?
It depends what the schedule is. I mean, depending on, obviously.
Well, Sunday will be
sports is gonna come first, but
Thursday, Saturday. So Sunday will be the East,
I will have time.
But here's the problem.
Saturday's a golf tournament. Then we have the Preakness. I will squeeze. It's less than 2 hours, right? It's like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's not 2 hours.
I'll squeeze it in.
Now you're going to have to rate it like Chris came in here and gave a 9.2 to a few good men.
I have no doubt I will like it. I don't know if I'll give it a 9.2.
I don't think you will like it 9.2. I don't think you'll reciprocate.
I will see. I'll reserve judgment.
Chris won't be here on Monday, so then we'll forget about it, it'll never happen.
No, I'll write it down.
Okay,
He'll know. He'll know.
Put it on a board back there.
You don't have to text
You're going
to
have your phone with you in Jamaica?
I mean, it'll be there with me. Will I be looking at it? No.
No.
No, I will not.
It's okay. It's understandable. One other note regarding Zion Williamson and the fact that he's going to go play with the Pelicans. I was on the way home yesterday. I think it was a promo I heard on ESPN. It was a great line by Jalen Rose. And he said, if you think being in a small market hinders your success in the NBA, you're not paying attention to the NBA.
He's right.
Milwaukee, Toronto, Oakland, and Portland.
Toronto's a massive market.
Yeah, but it's in Canada.
No, so because it's Canadian, we don't think it. It's a huge market.
Nobody's dying to go play there, is what I'm saying.
But this day and age with social media, you don't need to be the bright lights of New York, L.A., Boston, Houston. Don't matter.
Helps.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It helps if you want to film Space Jam in April.
It doesn't. You can do whatever
else going
you want.
On.
Nothing else going
Through
on.
Social media, your agent knows that. There's always ways of getting to studios here or there. You can be anywhere. LeBron James was a god in Cleveland. I mean, it doesn't matter. Winning teams that win, that's where players want to go. That's where players want to go. You got to win.
Well, I'm still sticking to my theory that the draft lottery was rigged, but not in the way that everybody
wants.
But
I'm saying, you think Kevin Durant went to Golden State because...
Well, he went to Golden State from Oklahoma City.
I know, but he went to Golden State. I mean, he went to Golden State because they wanted to win a championship.
No, I do agree with that. I don't think it matters where you get your start.
30 years ago, 40 years ago, I think it meant now. It just doesn't matter
anymore. You know what? I think it's the same mentality of the guy who still thinks that Notre Dame being on NBC is a big deal.
Totally agree.
I think it's the same exact mentality where it doesn't really do anything for you. You've got all these different outlets where if you want to watch a Zion Williamson play, you can find him.
So if you're over the age of 80. You're that guy.
What it comes down to in professional sports on the whole, if you don't have good ownership and upper management, you're going to lose. All you got to do is look in New York. Look at the Jets and look at the Knicks. Look at the Knicks the last 30 years, or not 25 years. Look at basically at least the last 20. But look at the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, Jets recently, not 20 years, but recently. I mean, you've got to have good ownership and good front office structure in sports.
By the way, Adam Gase, what a GM, making deals on the job for 24 minutes, and he's sending guys out of town.
Yeah.
That's what you like to see.
Maccagnan's arguably worst draft pick that he said, get out. They were holding out for a fifth rounder, and he said, screw it, I'll take a sixth. Goodbye,
right.
Go play in Kansas City. You know. And Scott Pioli, the assistant GM of the Atlanta Falcons, just stepped down today as well.
Where was he before?
He was with the Patriots.
Okay.
I used to do a show with him back in the
day.
Yeah. Well, no, but he was.
Patriot way. And now he's going to go back to the AFC. Well,
no, he's a real, real good guy.
I'm going to get the name wrong. Dermatov?
Dimitrov. But I know who you're talking about.
Dimitrov.
Yep.
It's Dimitri, isn't it?
Dimitrov.
No, there's an off in there as well.
Okay.
It's of some sort of Eastern Russian descent.
Anyway, the guy in charge of the Falcons.
He came from the New England Patriots.
Scott.
That was a long time ago, yeah. So there's the connection.
But we'll see.
Dimitrov.
It's interesting
I think
because...
I think you nailed it. I think you got it, Chris. Eighth time is the charm. We got it. Good job.
Nailed it.
I'm still wondering if Adam Gase is not going to hold it out for total autonomy for the Jets and become the...
I think he wants it.
Can I just back up for just a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that could not win in Miami. It was a disaster with the Dolphins.
13-19 in his last two seasons.
And won 10 games in his first year and went down the point where they kicked him out of town. They fired him. The lowly Jets pick him up, and now he's going to wear two hats as a GM and a head coach in the National Football League in the number one market in America. That's really happening.
It's called New York Jets football.
It's incredible.
That's what it is. And I mean, but Christopher Johnson, which we'll hear from, I don't want to ruin it because his stuff is just blathering.
Get Fireman Ed the job. At least he cares. He still shows up, right?
Yes, he does, yeah. The Bills mascot guy, he was 39 years old. He passed away from cancer the other day. He was a real popular guy.
Oh, that's
real
he's young, fan. Right? Like 39, yeah, 40?
Yeah.
Did you
yeah.
listen? Pete huh? just said he was 39.
Yeah.
I missed that.
It's okay.
Sorry. My bad.
Every once in a while, my bad.
Never happens to me. I listen to every word you say all the time.
Pete don't repeat something.
When I'm on the
C-Shows,
you have the B network, I have the C network.
239 asking what brand shoe Zion will wear. He has not signed a shoe deal yet, nor has he signed with an agent, keeping open the possibility of going back to Duke next year.
Chris, I believe he has till June 10th to decide.
Does he?
Yeah, it's
not
late.
I don't think he's going to do it.
No, I don't either. But he could.
Well, the article I read yesterday said late May, but I didn't see a date. Yeah. So,
all right.
He is not going back to Duke.
I don't think he is, nor do I think he should, but it would mess up their recruiting class this year. A bunch of guys decommitting. I got to be the superstar.
No, you got to go to Coach K's, got to go to somebody's family, say, I know we did a deal here, but I got to take your scholarship away. Zion's coming back for another year.
Hey, remember that
$100,000? Wink, wink.
Have you spent
Zion's,
all that yet?
Zion's mom needs another house. What are they going to do?
They only signed a one-year lease.
How will they sell the house?
Really?
I don't know. I would imagine.
I would love to be able to find out exactly where she lives and find out the property.
Craig, did you ever find out where Reggie Bush's family was living?
Yeah.
Was it a nice house?
It was decent.
Did it stick out, or was it like they could have?
No.
If Reggie Bush weren't a Heisman Trophy winner, would it have kind of maybe gone under where
middle of the road house.
Okay.
It wasn't a mansion.
Okay, so they're not – all right.
Yeah.
I guess that's my – they're not buying the mansion they use on The Bachelor.
No, because you can't make it overly
But also keep
obvious.
In mind it's Southern California where 200,000 square foot will go for $700,000.
Right.
So,
yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2,000
But I remember
feet.
In Blue Chips.
Yeah,
remember when they got the mom the job in the house in Blue Chips. It was a nice job, nice office, nice view. But the house was a nice house in a nice neighborhood. Nothing in, and it wasn't.
There's got to be a strategic way to go about. Hey, we're going to put you in a nice home, but it can't be too nice.
We tap the brakes.
Yeah,
right?
We don't want people saying
attention.
Yeah.
All right, man. A lot of good stuff going on here today. When we come back, we'll take a trip down Sound Street. We'll hear from Adam Gase and Chris Johnson and everything known as the mess of the Jets and some
Johnson.
NBA post-game reaction as well. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
About you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives online at optimalmale.net. All right, let's get more into the dysfunction known as the Jets. Now, this is from Friday, just kind of a scene setter. Adam Gase shooting down reports of a feud between him and, at the time, GM Mike Maccagnan.
Can you speak to your relationship with Mike? There were, as you know, a couple weeks ago, a report about a rift between the two of you guys.
Yeah, unless I say it, it's really irrelevant to me. I don't know who decides that. Just to put that stuff out there, it kind of pisses me off a little bit because... Well, we have discussions on everything, and that's our job. We have to work through so much stuff, and that's what we got to do. And that's all we've done since we've been here. Since we started, we just constantly were in communication. Whether he's coming down to my office or I'm going to his office, that's all we're trying to do is just trying to make sure that we're on the same page all the time and making sure that we're trying to put this thing together as well as we can in a shorter period of time.
All right. So a week ago, everything was cool. They've been working through free agency, spent $192 million together, went through the NFL draft. Boom! Yesterday, the GM gets fired. So now Chris Johnson, who is the owner's son and basically in charge, denies that there was a power struggle between Gase and Maccagnan.
This had nothing to do with Adam. I mean, I want a good give and take between our GM and the coach. This was not one person or another winning a power struggle. This was completely my decision.
The New York Jets just tweeted out, "We're going to find the right person."
So they didn't already with Adam Gase? Yeah.
Why do you tweet that?
All this, I don't know. I don't know.
Why do you tweet out this? This morning I informed Mike yesterday that he was being relieved of his duties as GM of the team. Effective immediately, Mike helped to execute the strategic vision of the organization during the last 4 years and especially the past few months. However, I came to the decision to make a change after much thought and careful assessment of what would be in the best long-term interest of the Jets.
All right,
yada,
so
yada, yada.
Johnson continued because now people are saying, well, if you felt this way, why didn't you fire him after the season was over? He insists he could not have done that.
This isn't a decision that I could have made at the end of the season. I could with Todd. I could not with Mike.
Why?
You were out of your league, son.
So you fired your coach, Todd Bowles.
Out of your league.
I had this great thought this morning coming in. I haven't heard anybody say this, so I'm going to take it as mine. This is unique. So let's just think about what the New York Football Jets have done this offseason. They hire Adam Gase. Mm-hmm. They force a defensive coordinator on him, Greg Williams, mm-hmm. where there's some history between those two families.
Not good history. Right.
Now you're going to have to hire a general manager with your coach just signing a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
They're going backwards.
Right.
They're forcing a DC on an HC. They're pushing an HC mm-hmm. on a GM. It's laughable.
It's a great point. It's exactly what's going on.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be totally functional.
Oh, you don't have to listen to the introductory press conference for the new GM. Adam Gase is a great coach.
Oh.
Great. He's my guy.
Did you hear Le'Veon Bell tweeted out?
No.
He goes, I don't care if anybody likes me.
Good for you, Le'Veon.
Good for him. On to hockey. NBCSN, the San Jose Sharks. Erik Karlsson, the overtime goal for the 5-4 W.
Nyquist with it. Sharks with numbers. Here comes Meyer down the right side. Timo Meyer with a shot. That did not make it through. Now Nyquist drops it off. Score! Erik Karlsson wins it for the Sharks. In overtime, they lead the series 2-1.
But Meyer drops it off. That's the best line.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did.
Well,
there you go.
St. Louis Blues coach, is it Craig Berube?
Craig Berube, yep.
Craig Berube says the Blues can't dwell on that missed call.
Chief, your frustration level, though, for a playoff game in overtime to end like that, how difficult is it and the challenge of getting your team ready to play the next game?
Well, it's difficult to lose in overtime and playoffs anytime. And, you know, got to move on. Like, the team's got to move on. We all got to move on from it and get ready for game four. Really, that's all you can do. I mean, you know, we played a solid hockey game, but we're on the losing side of it. And there's nothing we can do about what happened. We're just going
to
move on.
As bad as it was, to Chris's point, a season didn't end. The team's not going on to the Stanley Cup. They still got a little light, a little chance.
Yeah, but the point is when the officiating supervisor says it's not reviewable, you can read between the lines. You can figure out what you want. You watch the video, but it's just non-reviewable. I know that sounds like a cop-out answer, but that's the truth. And the truth is the two linesmen, two refs missed the call completely, which is why it wasn't reviewable. Is if that's not what replay is all about, is because the refs missed the call.
Yeah.
So how does this rule make sense, Gary Bettman? Dope.
On to the NBA and Milwaukee's win over Toronto. Mike Budenholzer winning a game without a big performance from Giannis Antetokounmpo speaks of their depth.
Well, hopefully it speaks to our depth, you know, first and foremost. You know, I think we're got a lot of guys that are capable, that can contribute, that, you know, confident on both ends of the court. You know, I think it speaks a little bit to the character of the group. They just stick with it. I think it's become a little bit of a theme in the playoffs. You know, I think eventually, hopefully, we feel like if we stick with what we're doing, good things will happen for us.
That was a crossover from the B side, the B network of Chris.
Well, I keep everybody abreast of the situation. What a great use of that word.
Let's
abreast.
Balance this
He's
out.
He's so not here. He's
Nick
in the tropics.
Nurse,
yeah.
Head coach of Toronto has a feeling this is going to be another long series.
It really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? If it's a buzzer beater,
yes, I know what you are saying.
And you lose, or if it's a 30-point blowout and you lose, that game's over. And we saw that in that last series.
Are you kidding me? Is that what happens?
We went and blow them out in the first game. And it was, blowout, you know, lose? Look, it was going to be a cruise, but we know better than that.
No,
these
should
teams are too good. Both teams are good. And it's, you know, good chance. You know, I thought the Philly series was going to be a long one. And I, you know, and I'm
on to Toronto.
Good chance this one will be too.
I think that was as long as that sound bite. All right, coming up.
Does that
up.
Make any sense? Basically, if we, coach suck, speeding, if we suck, we're going to lose. If we don't, we have a chance. Thanks, coach.
You said it much quicker Jesus. Than he did.
If you lose by 1 or 30, you still lose.
Today, Junior.
Thank you. Look at Spieth.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, a little inside out.
Look at a little body language. It's in the trap.
Booyah. All right. We'll continue with updates on the PGA Championship, some NFL news, a college football police blotter to talk about today, and we are 100 days from the college football season, so we'll have 100 things we're looking forward to. All that and more coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.